Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey guys, welcome back to We Met at Acme. I am so excited for today's episode with Colton Underwood. I realized I didn't really introduce him, but Colton was a former professional football player, and then he joined The Bachelorette on Becca's season. That was the 14th season of The Bachelorette, and then he was the lead of The Bachelor. And he is the first Bachelor lead in history to come out as gay. Colton dealt with a lot of mental health issues after coming out. He was kind of forced out of the closet and blackmailed by someone who took a picture of him at a gay sauna, and really just an awful way to be outed. No one should be outed before they're ready. And he, you know, did some things that he regrets afterwards with Cassie, the girl that he chose to be his, you know, his choice of The Bachelor. He obviously, you know, went through a lot of therapy and got the help he needed. And now he is very much a changed person, and he is involved with charity, and he is married to a wonderful man. And he is now going through a fertility journey and just released his new podcast called Daddyhood. So I hope that you give him a chance. You know, no one's perfect, and he has definitely made some mistakes before he really knew who he was and became his true self. And I think we can all relate to doing things that we're not proud of in our past. And I think it's a sign of growth. And just, you know, some of the things that I did before I got sober were beyond. So I'm excited for that. I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on him and on the episode. And before we get into it, I'm just going to answer a few of your questions and or address topics that you wanted, and then we'll get right into it. So this person said, I recently had a conversation with my ex-boyfriend about why he decided to end things. And his primary reason was that he is envious of the qualities that I have, aka being hardworking, disciplined, healthy. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the concept of men being intimidated by women and wanting to date women who make them feel good about themselves as they are, even if they have qualities or habits that aren't the best. You know what my first instinct was here was to say that this is a BS excuse. And he's kind of being like, oh, you know, it's like when you go to an interview and there's like, and they're like, what are your weaknesses, and you're like, oh, I'm too organized, you know, like this is giving me that energy where this guy is saying you had too many great qualities that I was intimidated. I don't really feel like guys are often intimidated by women. And if they do say that they are intimidated, they're using it as an excuse to let the woman down easily, or they're really insecure. And that's not the kind of guy you want to be with anyway. I think that boys might be like that, but men think that hardworking, disciplined, and healthy women are amazing and such a turn on. I think that a man who is not happy with himself and not secure enough with himself would, of course, be put off by someone who is, but a real man and a great man that you'd want to be with wouldn't feel that way. But, you know, I think that's with anyone. Like, if I were really insecure, I don't know that I would want some guy who was like amazing at working out if I couldn't bring myself to the gym, you know? So I think that's more individualized than like all men are intimidated by X, Y, and Z. This person said, what is so in love / head over heels love? Can you love your partner and not be obsessed? I will say that in the first few years, like in the honeymoon period of your relationship, you should absolutely be obsessed. After that, it's not like you stop being obsessed, but it's like the obsession ebbs and flows. There are going to be days where they're obsessed with you and you're like, okay, where you're obsessed with them and they're like, okay, you know, but it's not going to be this consistent obsession all the time. Obviously you love them and they're your favorite person. And when you talk about them, you light up, et cetera, but you're not going to be obsessed with them every single moment. That's just what happens in relationships. It starts to ebb and flow, and that is so healthy. So don't expect to be just like in this blissful obsession period all the time. I think if you're so in love and head over heels love, you're still ebbing and flowing with that love. It's never going to be 100% consistent. And that is so normal. This person said 50 new matches on Hinge, but none are starting the conversation. What gives? And this is a girl who submitted this. Girl, start the conversation yourself. Like, what are you doing? I used to start the conversation on Hinge all the time. It doesn't matter who starts the conversation. It matters who takes the conversation to a date. Someone said, can you talk about jealousy and creating openness in the relationship? So interesting. We talk about that on today's episode and just how gay relationships do it so much better than I do in straight relationships, or many people do, right? Because there is not openness. And there is not the default of, okay, it's normal to have thoughts outside your relationship and it's something we can talk about and we can figure out. But instead, it's like, it's not normal and you better not. And I think the real way to create openness in a relationship is to have these difficult conversations. And then jealousy wouldn't be as much of a thing because it's like you're giving them a lot of rope, as opposed to keeping them on a tight leash. And that is when people act out the most. So I would say having open conversations and not being afraid to give someone more slack in your relationship actually does the opposite of what you're thinking it does. And it makes them not only want to be more loyal to you, but want to be more open about their thoughts and feelings because it creates a non-judgmental environment. So I think that is so, so important to kind of just think about in your relationship. And I've been asked this question. I actually meant to ask Colton this, but I forgot. But the Travis Kelce behavior at the Super Bowl, him yelling at his coach. Here's the thing, you know, I've heard toxic masculinity and this thing and that thing, and you know, him yelling is like an abusive thing and this and that. Listen, he has had this relationship with his coach for years. They've been working together. I don't think that there is actual animosity between them. I think it was a very clear heat of the moment thing where he was like, you took me out of the game. Can you put me back in the game? Because it's important that I do X, Y, and Z. It's the Super Bowl. And I really want to help with the play. You know, again, I don't know exactly what he was saying, but I think it was clearly he let his emotions get the best of him. And you should never yell in someone's face. And it sucks that that was on camera. But I think we've also seen Travis Kelce in the normal setting of being on his podcast with his brother and being like a good person and son and seemingly good boyfriend to our girl Taylor. So I personally don't worry about this. I don't think it's a deal breaker. Is it a red flag to have like some anger? Yeah, it is. But it's also when you're playing a very heated sports game, there's a lot of testosterone in the air and people get frustrated and they yell. Is it the best way to handle your emotions? No, obviously it's not. And you should never yell at someone. You should never get in someone's face. But I've never been in the Super Bowl and then gotten pulled out when I felt like I should have stayed in and had a lot to contribute to my team. And maybe had a loss of control because I felt like I couldn't do anything to help my team. And you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. And if you think I'm so wrong about that, please slide into my DMs and we'll talk about it. And I'm open to being proven wrong. I just don't think that it's that big of a deal. I don't think it's indicative of how he's going to treat Taylor or someone in a relationship at all. I just think that it's an unfortunate kind of meltdown-y moment that we caught. And no, like sometimes it happens to the best of us and it shouldn't happen at all. Obviously that's the ideal, but nobody's perfect. And this is the last one I'll answer. Someone said, are most men always mid at sex or do they get better after like age 23? I think that the majority of men are mid at sex, but there are a handful of guys who are really good at it and really care about it. And when you're in a long-term relationship, your partner should be getting better at it every time. And if they're like very passively having sex with you and they're not trying to go out of their way to make sure that you are pleasured and happy, then that is a red flag. I don't expect, you know, 24, 25 year olds to be like sex gods. But as men get closer to 30, they should have the experience and the confidence to be good lovers. And I'd hope that you get to experience that. But yeah, I will say the majority are probably mid. Men should just try harder with that and a lot of other things. Anyway, I'm really excited for you to hear Colton and I can't wait to hear all of your thoughts. Do you ever have relationship doubts that feel overwhelming and no matter what you do, you can't seem to work through them? I've talked about before, there's some people who just have doubts and some people who don't have doubts. Maybe you constantly ask your partner for reassurance or you try to reassure yourself, but the distressing questions about your compatibility, your connection, or your attraction to each other just won't go away. This could be a type of OCD called relationship OCD or ROCD, which we've talked about in past episodes. And when it's left untreated, it can really affect your relationships and your quality of life. NOCD is making specialized treatment for this more accessible than ever. NOCD provides effective, affordable, and convenient virtual OCD therapy that can help you feel more secure in your relationship and other areas of your life too. You can do live face-to-face sessions over video with a licensed therapist trained in exposure and response prevention, ERP therapy, the gold standard treatment for OCD. And NOCD accepts many major insurance plans to make treatment more affordable. To learn more about therapy with NOCD, go to nocd.com and schedule a 15-minute call with their team for free. That's nocd.com to learn more and book a free 15-minute call. Definitely check it out. If this is something that you relate to, you're not alone. You just go to nocd.com and you can schedule the free 15-minute call and get the help that you need. We're finally starting to have visitors in the apartment over to see Zachary and to meet him. And I cannot tell you how sweet everyone's been. First of all, following the rules and wearing masks and washing their hands. But second of all, about Zachary's nursery, it's so, so sweet. We worked really hard. We worked with an amazing designer named Jennifer Hunter. If you are looking for someone to decorate your place, and we were so lucky to find the best pieces on article. We have the moon gold floor lamp. We have two of those that kind of surround his bed. And we got this, it's called the Lana Ivory Sheepskin Throw, which is amazing for kids, for tummy time. We also got the Charlotte Basket Set, which is kind of like a hamper situation, but a chic hamper, which is great for a nursery. And we also have this rug that we've now had for like 2 years, the pearl blue Bovey rug from Article. And I can't tell you how amazing the stuff is. I am just a huge fan of this company. I think they make incredible furniture. They believe in delightful design for every home. They have an online-only model, and they offer fast, affordable shipping across the U.S. and Canada. you know exactly when your stuff is being delivered. It is so much attention to detail and they're just incredible. So we're offering our listeners $50 off their first purchase of $100 or more. And to claim it, you just visit article.com/acme and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/acme for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Hey girl, hey, welcome to Taste of Taylor, my weekly podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Strecker. You might know me from SiriusXM Radio. I mean, I was there for like 12 years after all. But then Howard Stern allegedly got jealous of me, so I had to leave. I was actually able to pull myself up by the bootstraps and start my own podcast, Taste of Taylor, which is now officially with Dear Media. I'm so excited to say that. Ha! So I promise you in this podcast, you're going to either learn about something, you're going to be inspired by someone that's like always coming from a perspective of like humor, then this is the place for you. I hope you enjoy this little snack.
Hey guys.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Welcome back to We Met at Acme. I am so excited to be here with Colton Underwood. Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. First of all, before we even get into it, your skincare, your skin is amazing. Like,
what is
the routine?
Happiness. No, it's so cheesy. I don't know. I feel like being in LA, my skin's been much better.
Yeah.
And I get sunshine.
No, it's really good. So. It's funny. I was just talking to my husband because he is like one of the CVS skincare guys.
Got it.
And I was like, we need to transition you because he's like, my skin's breaking out. Like, and I'm like, yeah, well, you use like a 4-in-1 shampoo, conditioner, face wash, body wash.
Yeah. Oh, I learned so bad. I knew that was probably one of the first things I should have been like, yeah, you're totally gay. I told my parents, I was like, I need shampoo, conditioner, and body wash all to be separate.
The signs are there. I love it. Okay, so before we get into it, what is your favorite romantic gesture?
Ooh. Well, first, are we talking like love languages here? Because
kind of.
Okay.
More for like someone to do for you than you to do for someone.
I'm definitely an acts of service. I like receiving acts of service and gifts. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't like by gifts, I don't need like an expensive one. I just need to know that you were thinking of me.
Yeah.
So those are like my two. And then I like giving physical touch and quality time. Mm-hmm. And then my partner, which works out good, he needs physical touch and quality time as well as words of affirmation. So those are the ones that I like to do. I love planning trips and like just, and that's what I'm doing for him when I get back because I'm missing him on Valentine's Day.
No.
But when I get back, I'm taking him on a trip.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
Speaking of your partner, even though I know, but for anyone who doesn't know, what's your current relationship status?
Married. A lot has changed over like the last few years. And one thing, you know, for me, after I came out, I was like, I'm just going to date around and like keep it relaxed. And then like within months, I was like, oh, this is it.
Yeah.
Like, how funny is this? I like was seeking a relationship to get engaged. And then like the one time I was like, I don't need it. And I'm like married within months.
Of course. That always happens. It's like that annoying thing that, you know, your married friends tell you, like when you're not looking, you'll find it.
I've experienced it.
But so. It's true. It's
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
And how did you guys meet? Because like you to the world were newly out, but yeah. to yourself, I'm sure it wasn't feeling the same way.
No, we had been dating secretly and privately. Privately
mm-hmm.
For a while. After my Netflix wrap party, we were at the same party. And then I just remember being like, oh, he's cute. And what's his deal? And then 2 months later, we're on the same trip to Cape Cod in Provincetown. And we hit it off. And then I was going out for some press for the Netflix stuff and pickups. And I just remember going out of my way to like see him as secretly as and privately as I possibly could.
That's really cute. And
yeah.
So we're into astrology over here on this podcast.
Yes.
You're an Aquarius.
I am an Aquarius.
And he, if I stalked correctly, is a Sag.
Yes. December 3rd.
I love it. Do you feel like a real Aquarius? Because usually it takes Aquarians a long time to settle down. Like usually I feel like most Aquarius men are like savor their independence very long.
I think what's beautiful and why we worked so well together
yeah.
is he enabled me and like still even to this day to be independent in the best way.
Mm-hmm.
He does not want to be a part of my like professional world.
Yeah.
He helps behind the scenes and like is so supportive and so great. I think it's so healthy. Like coming out of the bachelor world where it's like all of a sudden, you know, once you leave the show, you're sort of branded as the power couple and you have to move together and everything you do is together or else there's
so
like a
true.
Rumor of a split.
Oh yeah.
You know, like Jordan and I don't walk carpets together.
Right.
You know, we will take photos together at events, but like we don't want to like throw it in anybody's faces. We like to be private.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why it worked. But then also, I mean, I put in a lot of whether, you know, the show taught me a lot about what I wanted out of a partner. And I still got to apply that just to a man, not a woman.
Right.
So I put in a lot of work of figuring out what I wanted out of a partner.
That's a really good way of looking at it. Like it wasn't
yeah.
a waste of time. You still learned like all dating experiences in general.
Yeah.
Are a lesson.
Yeah. The bachelor world really taught me how to date with intent.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a lot from that show. There is definitely a lot of positives that came from it, just as far as like how it shaped me and,
yeah.
and the way that I dated and asked questions.
Do you still watch like
I
other
don't.
Seasons? Yeah.
No. And I think, you know, my like we've moved on and we've healed our relationships and they were kind and invited me to Jerry's wedding, but I had another obligation that I had to go to that weekend. But I think they're doing really well with the Golden Bachelor. I haven't followed, but I obviously saw the success and I thought it was so cool and innovative and it was what the franchise needed.
Totally. No, really smart. I mean, now watching, because I am like a new Bachelor watcher and now watching Joey's season, I'm like, oh
yeah.
my God, this is awful and like so catty and just like
yeah.
these people are crazy. Like I miss my ladies, like my golden ladies.
Right. Well, I saw they announced the Golden Bachelorette, correct?
Yeah, but did they say who it was?
No.
Okay.
I just know that
it
worked
coming.
For them.
It's coming.
I mean, you knew that was coming. I don't think
of
that
course,
shocked
of
anybody.
Course.
But no, I don't watch, but I obviously have social media and pay attention to the media. So like
yeah,
I
yeah.
see how things are going.
For sure. Going back to your relationship with Jordan, because
yeah.
you had like newly come out, was there any hesitancy on his end to be like, Colton, like, what if you still have so much to get out of your system? And like, I am just like, you know, the stepping stone, or maybe there's like a term for that. Like the first person you
yeah.
like are really like date after you come out.
Yeah, no, he would be the first to admit that it was scary for him. And a lot of his friends were sort of, whether privately saying it or to him at times too, being like, what are you doing? Like, he's not like he just came out, like he's about to break your heart.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to like reassure him and just be like, this is it. Like, I'm not a grass is greener type person. That was not the attitude that I took. Like, him and his family and just like his values and who he is as a human being was so attractive to me. And just like, I don't know, it just was like one of those things, like we fit together and we're made for each other.
Mm-hmm. And in your story and like your background as a person, you grew up Catholic.
Yeah.
Where does religion play a role, if at all, in your life or your relationship like today?
Yeah. I mean, I'm still very much on my faith journey. I consider myself a Christian man and my relationship with God is between God and I and not in a building or confined to religion like I used to approach it, where it was very structured and organized, and I had Bible studies here and I had to read this. Like, I very much am in a different state of mind, but one that I consider healthier, and my faith is important to me. You know, Jordan knows that, and a lot of people who have been with me along this journey have sort of seen, and I've sort of spoke to about this. So yeah, it's a work in progress, but it's definitely in a healthy spot.
Yeah. What advice do you have for others who are coming out in like religious communities? Because this is a problem that doesn't seem to be going away, as like modern as we are, as much as people are like, you don't even have to come out today. There are still so many, especially religious communities where, or even just like family dynamics where you still feel like you can't. So do you have any advice for anyone listening that might be in that spot?
And I think just find your support system and find the people who you can trust. And coming out is a really slow process, not only with yourself, but just with you, the people you surround yourself with. Religion's hard. I think, you know, looking back, the three main pillars that sort of held me in the closet was religion, sport, and then my desire to want to be a dad and a family man. I just didn't think was possible as a queer man. So I think we still have a lot of work to do in the religious community, but I would just say find people you trust and talk it through with them. Because once you start, once I started explaining to people why I still am a man of faith and like what I believe in, they're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And it's just like it's just sort of like common sense. Like,
right.
I don't need to go on Sunday at 11 o'clock and that's the only time I could speak to God. Like,
right.
I can talk to him whenever I want to, and I don't only have to talk to him when I need something.
Right.
So just like completely reframed how I approached my religion.
I love that. I feel like as someone who's sober, I never really like thought about God or like a higher power until getting
sober.
You're praying for help. Right.
Yeah.
Right. But also now I just like look for it in like the, like if you don't look for it, you're not going to find it type thing.
Yeah.
But if you're only using a higher power for times of help, then that's like not great either, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. It's interesting. It's like that phrase that like everyone becomes religious when they're like on a plane with turbulence.
Yeah. I was like, everybody starts praying to somebody when that plane. Yeah. Uh-huh. When something does not go well.
Going back to your relationship with Jordan once again, I have had this, one of my favorite guests who came on my podcast is Dan Savage. Do you know him at all or of him?
Yes.
So he's so cool and so like just ahead, I feel like. I learned so much from him.
Yeah.
And he is big on the idea of ethical non-monogamy,
mm-hmm.
and just how it's been great for the gay community, but also for relationships in general. And like, I have tons of gay friends and every gay couple in my life has a different view on how monogamous or non-monogamous they want to be. And I think it's so fucking cool. Like, I wish that my straight friends were more open to just like talking about the possibilities, right? Do you feel like this is something that you would discuss or have discussed with Jordan, or going back to, you know, being a Christian, do you feel like you draw the line at like, you know, I'm gay already, which some people might look at as a sin. I'm not going to take it so far as to be non-monogamous.
No, I mean, look, there's not really like lines that I draw with religion anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's more so just like my own moral compass and like my values and what I want out of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I have friends and people who I know that are in non-monogamous relationships and it works for them, and like they communicate properly and it just works. You know, and going back to your initial question of, you know, like Jordan basically being like, do you still need experiences or is this it?
Right.
It's definitely come up in conversations that we've had. I feel like I would be too jealous of a person to be like, yeah, that's cool. You know, like I couldn't put myself in that position, and maybe that's going to change in a year or two.
Right.
That's part of being in a healthy relationship, is being able to have tough conversations and reevaluate things at different like moments in your relationship. We're, you know, 3 years in now, so I'm not going to say anything's going to change, but just was something that I don't feel like we need right now. And also just being in the spotlight, it makes it a little harder to have non-monogamous relationships because people talk and rumors get going. I mean, even if you're in the gay community, that's how it works. So just a choice right now for me and us to protect our privacy that we really just aren't exploring. But once again, like, I think that's what's beautiful. One of the beautiful parts about the queer community is that, like, the independence and also the approach that they take and we take to relationships, with it being less possessive and more like, I want what's best for you. Do you need X, Y, and Z? Whereas other relationships come in and be like, you are mine. I'm locking it down. You do not need this. And this is why you don't need it.
Yeah.
I think there's something really cool about that. And I'm not against it. And I'm always up for reevaluation.
I think that's so cool. And I agree with you. 3 years, like, it's still very much honeymoon vibes.
Yeah.
And especially you're going through this journey, which we'll talk about, to start a family. Like, that's the focus at the moment.
Totally.
I think, you know, 15 years in, who the hell knows, like, how anyone's going to be feeling. And I think that should be more normalized in straight relationships too. Like, these check-ins, like, hey, are you feeling like...
Are you getting what you need from
me? Exactly.
Totally. I think that's such a fair question that we don't ask a lot. And I think we don't ask it because we're like scared of the answer.
Right.
Like, because you're scared of your partner being like, actually, no, I'm not fulfilled in X, Y, and Z. And I want that.
Right. And the bad thing that could happen if you don't have that conversation is they will step out and you will be so hurt when you could have been like, you should step out and I'm good with it. And like, then it's just a whole different reaction to something that you already knew was happening versus something happening behind your back.
Totally. Yeah. I think there's a power in that too.
So much power.
Of like empowering your partner.
Totally. It's like if you love someone, let them go. And if they come back, like 100%. I have been watching Love Island All Stars and I love that it's on Hulu. However, Hulu is never up to date with the actual in real time episodes that are airing in the UK. And if you are like me and you have zero patience and you want instant gratification, you need to have ExpressVPN. If you've never heard of ExpressVPN, it is an incredible app where you can connect to any place in the world. So for me, it's London or Docklands or just anywhere in the UK so that I can access the best TV shows like Love Island, which is everyone knows is just better in the UK, and get up-to-date episodes. Plus, ExpressVPN sends 100% of my traffic through their encrypted servers, so my browsing history cannot be seen by anyone. So it's like a super incognito mode that actually works, and it works on all my devices. I can use my phone, TV, iPad, computer to browse or download whatever I want without the whole world knowing it. So I use ExpressVPN to be private. And I also use it to watch the latest Love Island UK, which is obviously the most important thing to me. So make sure you protect your online activity with the VPN I trust to keep me private. Visit expressvpn.com/acme today. That's express, ExpressVPN. .com/acme to get a 3 months extra for free. ExpressVPN.com/acme. This next podcast partner has literally been getting me through postpartum with the best meals ever. Green Chef is a meal kit company that makes eating well and cooking so much easier with plans to fit every lifestyle. Whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, or you're just looking to eat more balanced meals, Green Chef offers a range of recipes to suit your preferences. Each week, you can choose from more than 80 flavor-packed options, including new calorie-smart recipes and wellness bundles. I am personally obsessed with Green Chef. I can't explain to you how little time I have right now between trying to kind of work still and feeding my son every like 2 to 3 hours and just running around trying to get my new mom life together. But Green Chef makes my life so much easier because I take back the time in the kitchen with dinner in 30 minutes or lunch in 10 minutes. It is so convenient. I don't have to run around Whole Foods looking for different recipes when I'm still healing from my C-section. And I know that every single thing that I'm making, I know what ingredients go into it, and I know that it is good for me and good for our family. And I want to be eating really well right now because breastfeeding, you know, I'm giving him everything that I eat. So the better I eat, the better he eats, which is amazing. If you haven't tried Green Chef and you want to make your life easier and you want to feel better, go to greenchef.com/60acme and use code 60acme to get 60% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/60acme and use code 60acme to get 60% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. It's an amazing deal. Trust me, try it. Going back to just like growing up and using kind of sports and athleticism, like being someone who was very much involved in the whole toxic masculinity thing, do you think that that's still very much the case in like sports communities? I know that you are working on this Teams Act, which we'd love to hear about.
I think toxic masculinity gets thrown around a little too loosely and recklessly these days. Like it's sort of like a lazy slap tag that people throw on something that's problematic. And I definitely think, you know, I've been guilty of certain moments of masculinity problems, including on my fertility journey, which we'll get into. But I think sports culture has a long ways to go. It's gotten a little bit better, but it's still really far behind as far as everything else. I think this new generation is doing really, really well at basically being annoyed with the question of like, what's your sexuality? They're like, I mean, 1 week I like him or 1 week I like her. Like, what do you mean? Like, they're so bored with like, are you straight or gay? And they're like, I don't know, I'm bi. Like, I'll figure it out later. And I think that's so healthy. I would have loved to not label myself until I was ready to like feel those through after puberty. Because I feel like so often, you know, especially in middle America and growing up in the church is, you know, you're labeled straight from such a young age. And it's not really fair to label somebody who hasn't even experienced puberty or like sexual anything yet to like label them as straight. So I think this new generation's doing a good job at that.
Yeah, definitely. And this Teams Act, so it stands for Targeting Emotional and Mental Stability. And it's really for student athletes.
I've never been much of like an outspoken political person. Obviously my husband is, you know, he's fundraised and does a lot of work with the Democratic Party. And we've had many differences in our relationship of values and thoughts and political stances and arguments. But
because your parents are more on the other side.
My entire family, for the most part, and just the people I grew up with. Like, those are middle America, and like those are my people, those are my roots. And I've learned a lot from them. And I also feel like now I'm in a position to talk with them and explain to them more about like what and why they believe in certain things. But anyway, I basically said to Jordan, when I was on The Bachelor, my foundation was for cystic fibrosis, which is still really important to me. But the secondary illness to cystic fibrosis, which is a terminal illness, is depression and anxiety. And that's something that was a little bit more true and authentic to my story, too. So I made the decision to pivot from CF to mental health. And I asked my husband, and I was like, what can I do to have the most impact on people? He's like, you should pass a piece of legislation that protects college athletes. And like now I have a bill that's introduced in both the House and the Senate with bipartisan support, which is rare these days, to grant money for universities to use only for mental health resources. So I'm so proud of the Teams Act. My foundation has endorsed it with Senator Cory Booker, Senator Bozeman, the NCAA, NAMI, all of these American Psychology Association, all these incredible organizations have endorsed our bill. And I'm so, so proud of that.
That's so awesome. You should be proud of that.
I know. It's like real, real change. You know, a lot of people have these foundations where they like donate money here, donate doing this. And like we have the ability now to really like make a difference.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. What would, like, what was helping you when you were dealing with your mental health issues? What was like the greatest help at the time?
Reflecting on it now, I wasn't getting the right help when I was struggling. I mean, they played out very publicly, and it was very bad for not only me, but like my circle and my mm-hmm. friends and my family.
Yeah.
So I wasn't getting help. And then the medication for me, I was on it for quite some time. I was on Lexapro during while my season aired.
Yeah.
Just because I didn't really know how to deal with the public and the scrutiny, and you can't make any decision that like every fan likes on that show. So right. like, you're dealing with it some way, somehow. And then I started taking Xanax for like sleeping aids mm-hmm. and to help shut my brain off, which just sort of became, once again, just a massive Band-Aid.
Right.
And I was taking it too much and abusing it. So I definitely now, for me at least, I can speak and I think medication is for temporary and for a game plan to put together to use to get you through, you know, your recovery plan.
Right.
But I did during COVID and before I even filmed the Netflix show, as I was coming out to myself, I saw both a therapist and a psychologist 3 times a week for about 2 months.
That's amazing.
Pretty intensive, and just got the help that I needed.
Yeah.
I surrendered my medication. I remember to my family, I moved back to Colorado, moved back in with them, got the help that I needed, and then started moving on with my life.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's awesome. I remember at one point I was seeing a therapist twice a week, and it was great.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was very, yeah, I mean, it was sort of just with how everything happened with my story. For whatever reason, I had to come out to my professional team before mm-hmm. I could come out to my family, just with like media and legal, and I was getting like blackmailed. So it was like there was just like this part that I had to deal with like backwards a little bit.
Yeah,
that was a struggle for me. But having a therapist, being able to talk it through with them, because like normally you have your support system and your friends and your family that you could really lean on, and that wasn't the case for me. So having a therapist and a psychologist helped me with like withdrawing from the medicine use and re-examining that was so helpful.
Yeah, that's so helpful.
Yeah.
I have one last question, then I want to talk about your fertility journey. What are 3 things that you wish you had known kind of before becoming a household name? Like if someone found the Colton before people knew, before you were the first Colton that comes up when people Google you, like what would you have said to that person?
I think I would have just explained to him that he's like, you're in your mid-20s and you're still very much figuring yourself out. And also like socially, I was really immature.
Yeah,
I didn't have a social life like a lot of other people did. Like my mm-hmm. college experience was very much football and academics to like play in the NFL. That was right. like my goal and my dream. And I just like I didn't date. I didn't have like the silly shit you do when you're in high school. Like I didn't have that because I was so focused on sports. So I would just remind myself to be a little bit more patient and that you're behind a little bit. And then 2, just I was trying to make everybody else happy at the expense of my happiness. So I would definitely just remind myself to be a little more conscious of what served me
right.
and what made me feel good
mm-hmm.
instead of trying to please people.
Yeah.
When I was on that show.
Yeah. You got to put your seatbelt on first.
Yeah.
Or what is it?
And then I think the 3rd one would just be like, buckle up, mm-hmm. get ready for this, because there's no putting the genie back in this bottle. Like once it comes out,
right.
it's out. As much, even as, you know, as much as even I pulled back over the last 2 years of removing myself from like media and not engaging with tabloids and podcasts and stuff like that, there's still moments where I feel a little overwhelmed. And mm-hmm. when like paparazzi or like Jordan and I's breaking news on our relationship with somebody took like a sneaky iPhone pic of us on a beach in Hawaii. It's like, you know, you can't control that.
Right.
So I can't let that worry me too much.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you stop yourself from like Googling like and things like that when
I'm to a point now where like, I mean, look, I've truly been called everything. I have people who love me. I have people who hate me. I have people who know me pretty well. And I have people who don't know me at all that like
right.
have their opinions. And I just try to stay neutral. My motto is, my college coach told me this when I was playing football. My motto is very much like, you can never be too high and you can never be too low. So just like, even when I get some of the best news in the world, it's like, yeah, but what's next? And
right,
like trying
right.
to keep that even keel. Like, of course I can celebrate little wins here and there, but I just want to like
right.
stay pretty even.
I love that. You can never be too high and you can never be too low. I'm going to take that with me.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your new podcast, Daddyhood.
Daddyhood.
So what made you realize how necessary it was to talk about the fertility journey for like a gay couple? Because I feel like I have so many friends going through it and I don't know any podcast talking about it.
Well, I mean, the reason why I wanted to do it is because I had no help. My agent at CAA was the one who helped me assemble my entire fertility team. Because nobody really talks about this.
Yeah.
And like even Google is tough. And then it's overwhelming and you sort of shut down. And I mean, I'm grateful and fortunate and even privileged to say this, but like I have like 9 people on my team helping me hopefully have a baby this year. And that's a lot of people and a lot of moving pieces. And it's really expensive and it's hard and there's a lot of shame around it. And nobody's there to help guide you. So I sort of, you know, when I first started this fertility journey with my husband, I was like, how cool would this be to like let people in? And then I remember like the first hurdle we got to, which was me testing my sperm and the doctor basically being like, you don't have any sperm. Like I was like, oh, I can't do this podcast. Like, how am I going to explain? Like, it was like one of those things I carried so much shame and like my ego took a hit. And I was like, you're telling me like I'm a healthy individual. I don't have sperm. And so I was like, I called my team and I was like, never mind, not doing Daddyhood. And then a couple of weeks go by and we start to put a game plan together. And I was like, you know what? This is why we need this show.
Right.
Like, this is the conversations we should be having because I was naive enough to say fertility issues are for women. Like that. I mean, that's how the majority of our country thinks because that's all we hear about. And that's the only people who talk about fertility struggles and men don't talk about it too much. So I was like, why not me? To start the conversation. Like, let's talk about why I don't have any sperm and what I'm going to do to try to improve my numbers.
Yeah. So. Without revealing too much, like, do you have a plan now for what you can do? And if not, like, you know, would it just be from your husband that you would create this baby?
I go through this all in length on some of the episodes in Daddyhood later on, but we put together a plan and in 6 months, I basically went through sperm rehabilitation.
Whoa, and made made
some big lifestyle changes and bounced back and had great results and numbers and to a place where I was able to freeze my sperm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to hear all about it.
I know. And it's just like nobody, but like even then, you know, you're meeting with doctors and you're dealing with legal paperwork and it's very clinical.
Yeah.
Whereas like someone sits there and tells you basically like, oh, you can't have kids right now.
Right.
And you're like, all right, on to the next. And I was like, whoa, is somebody going to hold my hand and like walk me through this? And it's not, that's not the case.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's crazy. And like, I can relate to you kind of thinking that you would have no issue once you started. I thought I would have no issue because of like weird myths. Like I had big hips or so I was like, oh, I will be fine. Like I'm going to get pregnant in 2 seconds, you know, a year and a half later of IVF. And I have never had more friends going through IVF than I do now. It's more, I would say like 8 out of 10 friends of mine who are trying to get pregnant are going through IVF for one reason or another. And some of it is the man's situation, whether it's like a gene that a man has, or it's not necessarily, there hasn't been a sperm, like a low sperm count situation, but there's been like a sperm not meshing with the egg.
Yeah.
Like, which you
sperm
can't
motility,
even,
I'm by no means a sperm expert, but like what I've learned so far is wild. Like we are in a fertility crisis right now as a country.
100%. But why do you think it is? Because that is so interesting to me. And I'm sure you have a fertility expert coming on to explain, but like, what is it, what we're eating? Like, what is it?
It's a mix of eating. It's a mix of lifestyle. It's a mix. I mean, all the way down to carrying your cell phone in your front pocket.
Yeah. Like, is it the plastics, the foils? Like what?
There's so many different things. Right now we are trending at a decrease in sperm count by 2% every year.
What?
Which like is wild. Like there is, in a way, when you look at this, like we are in the process of going extinct and nobody's talking about it.
But it's like, what's the answer to that? Is that freezing your sperm when you're like 20? Is that freezing your eggs when you're like 18?
Yeah. I mean that and in lifestyle choices and change, being able to recognize that certain foods aren't healthy for you, certain lifestyle choices, certain medications, there's alternative ways that you can go about it. Like exercising more than 5 times a week actually can have some side effects that are not good.
Right.
So there's so many different things that go into it. And I do have a fertility and a sperm expert that comes on and talks us all through, you know, what we can do.
Right.
And it was super helpful to sit down with them. But I would have never known that if I didn't start Daddyhood.
I mean, it's also so expensive. You mentioned like before, it's insanely expensive. I have a friend who, like, him and his fiance, they've been engaged forever, but they're not planning to get married because they have to spend that money on the baby. It's like, what, $200,000 a kid or something minimum, probably.
Yeah.
It's wild. And then there's rules that like are unspoken that I didn't know, which is that for a gay couple, if you have, let's say, one kid with your sperm and the other kid with your husband's sperm, you're not allowed to ask which kid has which. Do you know?
Yeah, I think that's more of a preference.
Okay.
Thing.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. But it's like, it is a little bit like, I will say from doing Daddyhood and talking through, like, I approach the conversation about when are you having kids so much different because it's invasive question that we as a society has become such a normal practice.
Totally.
Whereas like now, you know, when people would ask us that and it just was such a blow every time because they'd be like, when are you having kids? And I'm like, what is my answer supposed to be? When I have sperm?
It's
such a, like, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. So like I always played it off. And for the first time, I got to experience half of what a woman experiences when they get pressured to have to answer that question. Mm-hmm. So it helped me evaluate that a little bit. But yeah, I think that's more of a preference thing.
Yeah.
And like for us, we always just want a healthy kid.
Yeah.
And so like the healthiest embryo is what we're going to plan on. And look, I'm sure you're going to be able to tell by physical attributes. Like
that's
you don't have to be a detective to figure it out. So like, figure it out.
But there is so much trust involved in a surrogacy process. I mean, you are trusting this woman who you probably don't know. Maybe there's a surrogate. Maybe there's like a surrogate and there's an egg, right?
Donor. And egg donor and surrogate are different people.
Yeah. Right. So that's two women that you're trusting blindly.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Which I didn't even occur to me until I had my doctor come on the podcast and, you know, obviously, we had to pay and we have our team going, but like he broke it down in such a way that I didn't even think about. He's like, when you have an egg donor, she's my client. Yes, you are my client, but she's my client too.
Right. It's
and
business.
Then your surrogate is my client as well.
Mm-hmm.
So now all of a sudden, like I have three people who I have to deal with and then funnel all the information back to you. But yeah, it takes a lot of trust for those people.
It's wild. Okay, now we're going to do some fun rapid fire poll questions.
Love it.
All right. Do you have names, by the way, picked out? You don't have to share them. But
yeah, we have a list in our phone. Mm-hmm. We have a fun tradition, without spoiling anything, in my family. We pass the firstborn. The father's first name becomes a middle name for the firstborn.
Cute.
So, yeah. So
Very cute.
We're gonna figure out how it complements our first name selection.
I love it. Yeah. Okay, do you and your partner watch TV together or does one person watch what they want and the other scrolls on their phone?
Oh, no, we have shows.
Mm-hmm.
Joint decisions.
Love it. What are you watching right now?
Halo on Paramount Plus.
Oh,
we really like that. For All Mankind on Apple.
It was another one of our shows. Yeah.
And then we just finished Marvelous Maisel.
Love it.
Yes.
Okay, let's see. You went on one date, really good vibes, didn't kiss. Now traveling for 2 weeks. How much texting is too much texting? Any texting is too much at this stage, a few texts a day, consistent back and forth, or there's no such thing as too much texting if you're into each other.
No such thing as too much texting if you're into each other.
Yeah, I agree.
There's no rules. I think as soon as you get into rules, you're overthinking it.
Interesting, because I love my dating rules, but
you have a structure.
No, well, I think that it's hard to explain in such a short amount of time. Maybe we'll get into it tomorrow. But I think that for women who date men, rules are structure is a little necessary because straight men are still kind of in the mindset of like, I need to work to get this girl for the most part.
You're not wrong. I mean, we're talking about straight men. Yes.
Yeah.
They're
And they're very simple. So if you follow this thing, And it works.
No cavemen.
Literally.
Yes. Okay. I understand.
Is it normal to feel like you have nothing to text your significant other about besides your whereabouts and plan things? In person is obviously different and normal. Yes or no?
I mean, I love like when he sends a random, like he'll send random pictures from like memories or like a funny gif and put a smile on my face.
Yeah. I like a little banter.
Yeah.
Would you ask the person behind you to put back their seat on a flight if it's a red eye so that like you can and you won't feel bad about it?
No, I would just do my own thing and I keep to myself when I travel.
Mm-hmm. And you'd hope that like the other people would also put theirs down.
Yeah.
Because like it's a red eye.
Be decent. Yeah.
Yeah. Etiquette. If going to a wedding with your significant other, who pays for the hotel? You both paid for your own flights. Whoever's friend is getting married or do you split evenly?
Oh, interesting. I caught a lot of shade on Andy Cohen because he wanted me to get a prenup, but I'm like, once you're married, like our money's ours. Like it's, we don't really have like a, we keep it fair. Like,
I'm with you. I actually,
it is.
I think prenups are amazing and you should totally have one if you want one. We don't have one. And I have like a similar mindset. Also, you are still protected in the law.
Right.
For the most part.
Yeah. Especially once you're married.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wait, is Andy Cohen going to come on your podcast? Because he has a cool fertility thing.
We're working on it.
Okay.
Yeah. Just a schedule thing.
Yeah. What is the maximum amount of time you'd spend in jail to not have to watch your significant other have sex with another person?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I wouldn't want to sleep in jail. So I think I can just like try to find it hot.
Yeah.
Spend my time in jail.
Into it personally.
I would cheer him on.
I would be so into it. Woo, not going to jail.
Here you go. Non-monogamy dance habits. Uh-huh. Here we go.
Is it a red flag, no big deal, or deal breaker if every time your partner buys you flowers, they're from the grocery store?
No, I mean, I live in LA, so like Erewhon's are on every corner. So like if they're from Erewhon, then not a problem.
And by the way, I'm sure Erewhon flowers are like more expensive than regular flowers.
For real.
And really nice.
Yeah, it's the thought that counts. I know that's like probably people would roll their eyes, but like I don't, if the flower lasts 2 days versus 2 weeks, I don't care. Like
yeah,
you bought
me
flowers.
I'm with you. But also like if you really want to have different flowers, then say it to the guy.
Communicate.
I think it's so sweet that you always think of me to get me flowers. Can they be not from the grocery store? Thank you.
Yeah. Jordan hates succulents, so I never get him succulents.
There you go.
Yeah.
Communication. Would you date your third cousin? Same great, great grandfather you found out randomly after the first date.
Oh gosh, no. No, that would be a deal breaker.
Yeah, it's too much. It's just too much.
The family tree is getting all sorts
Do you listen to podcasts on normal speed, 1.25 speed, or like double speed?
1.25 max, but normal speed.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, cool. This was so much fun.
Can you
leave us with a quote or piece of advice?
Oh gosh. I should know this because I ask people on mine too, so I should have came more prepared.
Well, you had the quote from your old coach.
I would definitely say like that would definitely be one, like just to remind people, like you can never be too high and you can never be too low, like to try to stay even keel. Like that's like the celebrate your victories and don't sit on your losses too much. But then I think outside of that, it's just like being selfish for your happiness is not problematic. And I think people need to be reminded that like at times making a selfish decision should not carry a burden for that.
Yeah. So. I like that.
Yeah.
Where can everyone find you, follow you, and listen to Daddyhood when it comes out?
At Colton Underwood on Instagram and at Daddyhood Podcast on Instagram, and anywhere podcasts are distributed is where we're going to be.
Very cool. Yeah. Check it out.
Thank you. And I can't wait to have you on mine.
Yes, me too.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.